a former roommate. Geez, you want to talk about challenges of his life? A former roommate of Jason Strudwick, Josh Holden, joins us. Josh, welcome to the show. Let's start there. How is Struddy as a roomie?
I'm so glad that you guys brought it up because I've been sitting on that one all day. I mean, Mr. Meticulous, Mr. Taking Care of Everything. I mean, heck of a guy. What can I say?
Well, you know what? I'll say something that I remember specifically. You didn't want to buck up the extra $200 for AC. So we sweat out the whole summer in Vancouver. It was the hottest room we ever had. Do you remember that?
All I remember is, like, at the end of the season, we were, like, part of the guys that the organization was like, all right, yeah, you guys got to come in. You got to train. You got to be here. And me and Strudge are like, yeah, all right, let's get a place together. So we find this place fully furnished, all excited. And it ended up being known as, like, the sweat box because it was so hot. It felt like literally like an oven that we just were, like, in there living. And we tried to stay out of there as long as we could.
Oh, it was well, that's why we went out at night, right? It was too hot to stay in, so we had to go out. Well, Josh, yeah, we spent a few nights running around Vancouver. Really happy to have you on, Holdy. Josh Holden, he's a very good hockey player and has had a great career both here and in Europe. So let's start out. You know, when you start your career, what got you into hockey in the first place, Holdy?
So I go all the way back to being born in Calgary. My dad played, he grew up in Ontario, just outside Toronto, played through junior and then kind of got into a little bit of coaching. They were moving actually to White Rock, BC, him and my mom, and they decided to stop in Calgary, hang out with some friends. My dad applied for a job, got the job, stayed there. Next thing you know, little Holdy comes along. Everybody's super happy. So my dad's working with a guy, and a few years into, I think I was around 2.5, 3. And he said, hey, my son outgrew these skates. Do you want them for your boy? I said, oh, yeah, sure. So got some skates and, around just before Christmas. I turned 3 in January. We just kind of went out and started playing. It was just for fun, like just something free to do that was readily available. So we had a pair of skates, went out, and kind of just took off from there. And ironically, my first year of hockey was played in St. Albert.
Really? Why is that?
My dad got transferred up there for like kind of 1 year. He was working in kind of like a home appliance company that they moved him up there for a year. Went up there, played, and then we actually ended up moving back to Calgary. But that's kind of where it all started, was in St. Albert that very first year.
That's amazing. So now you continue through your growth period of becoming a player, and now it's time to you get pretty good. And why choose the Western League? Was that just at that time kind of the normal level that players went to, or the normal route that people went to?
I guess so. Yeah, you know, I played in Calgary there, minor bantam, major bantam, triple A midget, like as an underage. So kind of was playing with guys a little bit older, moved my way up, and then I remember going to a patch training camp at 15 and kind of like, you know, driving home with my dad and thinking like, man, like I was like kind of close, you know, I can kind of keep up with some of those guys. Obviously they're more men, but felt like, okay, I could have a chance. So then I played AAA midget. And during that year, we actually started to get letters from colleges. So between me and my dad, my mom, we just started talking like, okay, what could be the options here? Should we look at colleges? Should we, the Western League or whatever. So I made a deal with my dad. Okay, if I can make it at 16 in the Western League, maybe that could be the plan. So went to Regina and, was one of the young guys that they kept around there and played 4 long years in the prairies, riding the bus. But to be honest, playing junior in Regina was a good place to grow up. I mean, I always loved going back to Calgary in the summertime, but it was a good decision at the time, for sure. It fast-tracked everything, I think.
Well, Josh, you go to the Western Hockey League, and there's not many players in their 17-year-old year who score 57 goals, 112 points in 70 games, and you led your team in scoring. You know, now I know, you know, I'm assuming you played a lot of that season with Rhett Gordon, but, you know, it wasn't like, you know, you had, veteran guys. I think Russ Houston was on that team, if my memory is correct or not, but you were the leading goal scorer at 17. Like, that just doesn't happen very often. Were you surprised? Like, How good were you at 17? Because if you look at the numbers, man, you'd say, wow, this guy was unreal.
Well, yeah, that's a tough question to answer yourself. But I guess, you know, at 16, it was interesting. We had a coach that was there that was, I guess, in 2020, you'd refer to him as an old school coach. And very military, very like head games, really trying to mess with you. Kind of one of those guys where it's like, you know, this is what you do. If you don't do it, you don't play. So kind of tried to fit in with that. And then at 17, obviously there was a whole ownership change. Bill Hickey was there, and then he sold it to the Parker family. They came in and redid everything, and they brought in Rich Preston, who was actually quite a solid human being, and actually became kind of like one of the first guys where I kind of like started to see what leadership was, because he just kind of started to lead us as young guys, and he just kind of let me play. But he challenged me and in the right areas that kind of led to me just playing free, you know. And as a player, ultimately if you can just play free, you don't think, and you just kind of like everything just happens. And that was kind of one of those years where, yeah, you know, put up some points, had some fun, really enjoyed it, which led to a good position for the draft coming up that summer.
So I'm Josh Holden, longtime, you know, a professional hockey player, a draft high in the NHL, and we'll get to that draft in a second. But, you know, I got to say, I was always amazed that, you know, it seems that you were a little bit maybe opposite of what the general mindset would be. Did you have to have these big arms to be able to shoot the puck hard and score? But with those skinny little arms you had, especially in the Western League, you know, how did you make it look so easy? Because your goal scoring was per game was off the charts. You know, what was your approach to goal scoring for a lot of the young kids listening in our show?
I appreciate you reminding me of those arms I got. But yeah, I got nothing on that one, Stretch. But you know, honestly, I think you know, you hear the stories now about kind of, I'm not at all comparing myself, but you know, like Sidney Crosby and the washing machine. You know, I think there's a ton of guys like that in Canada that just work on their skills. They, you know, they got a stick and some pucks downstairs or outside, and that's something that you can do for free, you know, and kind of practice. And I remember, I honestly I'd have to ask my mom, but I don't know how many windows I broke downstairs from, you know, shooting pucks and hitting the crossbar and going up. And yeah, it kind of just became where my dad, I think he had like a yearly budget to replace a few windows from me shooting pucks all summer long. But you know, when you're just shooting pucks and throwing stuff out there, like I think that's kind of just where it starts for the youngsters.
Josh Holden joins us, 12th overall pick in the 1996 NHL entry draft. Take me back to the draft, Josh. What was going through your mind? You know, all the interviews you'd done leading up to it. Did you have an inkling the Canucks? You know, did you think you were going to go higher or lower? What were you thinking?
So I basically interviewed with the first 10 teams, and you know, you look back at it now and you have some guidance and you make some decisions and, you know, where could you fit in? And I don't want to say I was picky and choosy, but I actually said no to a few interviews because, yeah, wish I didn't now. But one was New Jersey. Just didn't think I'd fit in with that system. And the other was Washington. Again, I, to be honest, I don't remember the reasons why, but said no. But anyways, you have all these meetings, met with Ottawa even as the first overall pick, and they're like, hey, you never know what can happen, but you know, we're interested, blah, blah, blah. And Vancouver was one of the teams that I had not interviewed with. So as the draft went along, it was kind of like, you know, I think third, fourth, fifth was Dallas, and then Dallas had said that they were going to pick. So I remember the camera crew being down at the front of our row, like everybody's up. So, you know, my agents are like, ah, here you go. And then they picked Rick Jackman. So it's like, okay. And then everybody scattered. So I was like, okay, all right, we'll wait and see. And then I think Anaheim was like eighth or ninth, and they had told my agents, yeah, if he's available, it'll be the best draft. We'll be super happy. So Anaheim's coming up, same thing. All the cameras come down low. They're looking up. We're like, okay, here we go. And it's like, Ruslan Saleh. So then you just started to hear, you know, like, kind of like these big, long-legged defensemen, kind of like draft guys, like Jason Strudwick.
Right. Everyone needs one.
You know, I mean, some of those guys, I think, you know, they were drafted as left-handers, but they shot right. But no, but you know, they just kind of started picking some big guys, which at the time in the late 90s, you know, you wanted to have those big defensemen that played hard and were aggressive and could, you know, distract those other young scorers or offensive guys. But it just kind of slipped and fell, and then all of a sudden Vancouver was 12th. And to be honest, I just was kind of like, man, what's going on? And I remember Calgary was 13th. So I was thinking, oh, my gosh, it could be like – I was thinking more of the 13th pick that it could be getting drafted by the hometown. And then Vancouver called, which, yeah, of course, it ended up being a great day at the end. You know, to get drafted in the NHL was pretty exciting.
Josh Holden joined us. So then you went back to junior for 2 years, which is the smart development curve for a lot. And then you, it's your 20-year-old season, and you start in the American League, but you split. You play 38 games in the American League, and you got 30 games in the National Hockey League. How did you feel you adapted to the American League as a 20-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, if you right away are playing with men, you know, I think that's the biggest difference from going from junior, where you can kind of control the game, you know, be a little bit arrogant in your approach to different things. And then all of a sudden you're playing with men where they're not afraid to smack you in the side of the head and be like, oh, yeah? Like, yeah. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, just tried to get in there and just play hard and was always, you know, I think, you know, to be honest, it kind of was every game I thought that next one's going to be the one where I get called up, you know. That's kind of how I just tried to approach it and tried to play, and you know, ended up being up and down a few different times. But we had a good young crew there in Syracuse with Matt Cook and Peter Schaefer, Brent Sopel, Zenith Komarniski, another Edmonton boy, you know, like kind of jumping around and kind of switching between Syracuse and Vancouver, going up and down. And but it was definitely more of a men's game for sure in the American League, you know, but similar travel when you're in the Western League. So that, you know, that doesn't really make a difference, but it was a good first year.
And then, you know, their time getting called up. I think you had some games under Mike Keane, if I remember, but you also had Mark Crawford. You know, how was that as a young player, just trying to figure out a system and now two systems?
Yes, that's quite an interesting approach to, you know, when you're coming into one game and you're thinking, okay, are we playing the 2-1-2 or the 1-2-2? How do I forecheck? Where's D-zone coverage? Who's pressuring? Your mind's kind of all over the place. And I remember we were in Boston, and let's start with Mike Keenan. He called me aside after the first period, and it was just kind of absolutely crazy what he had told me and informed me that I should go in and apologize to the rest of the team of how I was playing. Like, I remember going
what?
Back in and started to yeah. So kind of went back in and started to say something, and Mark Messier is just like, "Holdy, sit down." he knew exactly what was happening, and it was just like, "Yeah, just don't even bother. Just keep playing, buddy." So stuff like that was kind of tough when you're just, you think you're playing hard, you think you're playing well, and no, you're not. But I think, and then after that game, there was a car waiting right outside behind the bus, and I got sent down to the minors. So,
well, Mike Keane, I mean, you know, they're joined by Josh Holden, a longtime NHLer and professional hockey player. He would do things to try to just, you know, get players to be uncomfortable all the time. I mean, it was, when I think about some of the workouts we do post game or pre game, or like, he, you know, are there any other stories you can share where he was just like, he was really trying to get people to go, well, quite frankly, just about crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that was how you explained it there is pretty good. Like, really wanted you to feel completely uncomfortable and almost thinking the whole time, which is, as a player, when you're thinking, you're not executing because you're not sure which way you should go, left or right or up or down. I just remember afterwards talking with like Matt Cook and Peter Schaefer, and I think the stuff that he was talking to the three of us about being forwards and who's playing where, and it just was kind of mind games between the three of us, and he kind of created like a competition as to who was going to take over. And looking back at it now, I think it's actually not a bad approach, you know, to try to get the most out of your young guys.
Right.
You know, you have them compete against each other. Like, who's going to take that spot? You know, who's going to be going up and down every 2 weeks, or who's going to be the guy that's going to stay here? And yeah, I mean, it's that's old school hockey. You know, it's different. It's different now.
executive, Stratty's former roommate, Josh Holden. And Josh, you're in the NHL in the American League from 1998 through until 2003-2004. And then, of course, the lockout hit. And you never came back to the NHL. You played in Finland for I think, the lockout season. And then you were in Switzerland after that. So tell me about Europe. When you went in 2004-2005, were you expecting to come back to the NHL?
Yeah, so funny story. Was in Toronto's organization there for 2 years. And after the second year, it was kind of like, okay, like, got to try to, like, make some money here because, like, going to be in the minors again probably, you know, get a couple games, get 2 weeks called up and get some summer money. But, yeah, was hoping to get something. And they offered me less than I had made the year before. I was like, what the heck? And literally, like, within, I don't know, a week, some random guy from Europe calls and says, hey, I'm an agent. I got a team in Switzerland that wants you to play. So I was like, yeah, that sounds real cool. Switzerland. I talked to my wife, and we had, and she was actually pregnant at the time, had a stepson, Cody, as 12, and two little girls. And we had a dog. So I was like, all right, let's move. And we have, like, this famous picture of us in the Geneva airport with, like, one of those huge cargo things with, like, 19 bags. Like, it was crazy. So we end up agreeing to go over, but I had no clue, no idea how really, like, Europe worked. You know, so we think we're going to Switzerland. We got a house on Lake Geneva. They're in the B League, but all that doesn't matter. They're a good team, and yeah. So we end up getting over there, and I think we got over there, like, August 6th, I want to say, like, somewhere like that. And they usually start around August 1st. So I got over there and got to the hotel because they didn't have an apartment for us. And they're like, yeah, practice is at 7. Can you make it? And I was like, 7? Yeah, like 7 at night. So I was like, yeah, all right, sure. All right, so I roll into practice, get my bags, get in there. And I was there, like, maybe 5 o'clock, like, super excited. And I roll in, and there's this guy doing some woodworking in the locker room. And I was like, oh, hey. And he's like, yeah, hey, how are you? Oh, you're the new import. I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, are you, like, the, like, equipment guy? I said, no, I'm the goalie. Like, I'm just, our team just came up from, like, the first league, which actually first league means third league. And they needed to upgrade the locker room. So he's like, I'm just building some stalls here for the guys. So I was like, oh, all right, cool. Like, you know, should I grab a hammer and nail and help you out here? Or what do you think? No, just sit back, relax, get ready for practice. So we're getting ready for practice. And the coach shows up, like, maybe 30 minutes before, like, 6:30, and find out, like, he has to drive 2 hours to come coach the team. So I was like, okay, like, what's going on here? And then at, like, 6:45, there was about 5 guys that came rolling in while the coach was explaining some drills before practice. And they're just like, oh, hey, coach, hey, guys, sorry we're late. Yeah, they had to come from Geneva. They've been working all day. So I was, like, 26 years old, you know, thought, like, okay, let's go to Europe and try this. My wife's pregnant. We got our whole family with us. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, all right, we got to tough this out. So we went for a couple of days, and then the first game, we go to, like, up in the mountains. And I remember being awake for this drive, like, in Switzerland. It, like, unbelievable, completely beautiful. And we go to this rink and pull up. The bus pulls up, and we go out, and there's only a roof. Like, there's no sides. So I was like, oh, is this for real? So we're like, I don't know, let's say we're, like, 4,000 feet up or whatever, and the game starts at 7:30, so the sun is coming directly in. So the one goalie at one end, he has to play with his glove in front of his head to block the sun while the play is coming towards him.
Come on.
So I remember, like, hitting a guy, and he fell down, and I got a penalty. So I was sitting in the penalty box. I look to the left, out over the Swiss Alps, the sun's setting. I look to the right. The goalie's got his glove in front of his eyes, trying to watch the play and make saves, like the old, like Strutty playing ball hockey. And I just like, oh my gosh. So I called this agent that was like, hey, you got me into this mess, you got to get me out. So then that's how he basically said, like, oh, there's a team in Finland. They've always wanted you.
So I was like, I don't care. Like, get us out of there. So we ended up, like, literally packing all of our stuff and then taking it to a hotel in the Geneva, like, just by the Geneva airport, and spent about 2 days, like, trying to get out of the country, trying to get out of Switzerland. And the team that I was leaving, they wouldn't sign my release, like, transfer paper. And the other team was, like, trying to get me there. So I was like, yeah. Anyways, we ended up finally getting to Finland, spent the year, probably one of the best years I think I had, because I learned, like, really what European hockey is all about. It's very similar to North America, the Finnish style, to play hard, play quick, and smaller ice. And so at the end of it, that crazy 6 weeks that happened in August ended up being probably one of the best decisions I ever made to go to Europe, because we never would have went to Finland at the beginning, you know.
So you stayed there a year in Finland. How come you didn't go back? How come then you went to the Swiss League?
So in Europe, it's very interesting, especially in Switzerland. Like, if you don't have your roster for the following season, like, 99% complete by Christmas, like, you're behind. So they're all, as Strudz can probably attest to this, like, played in Lugano, he plays with guys. They're negotiating their contracts for, like, the next year, like, sometimes in August. The season hasn't even started. And it's like, yeah, I want an extension for 5 years, or I'm going to go to Zurich, you know, and that kind of, that's just how it works. It's like an open market. It's always open. So you kind of always have to be looking. So while we were in Finland, this same agent, he kept calling and calling for months. I didn't answer his call. And then finally, my wife accidentally did. And he's like, don't hang up, please. I have an offer for you. Please, I want to make this right. So we ended up getting an offer from Fribourg, which is in the French part in Switzerland, and for 1 year. And I was like, yeah, forget it. We're not moving again for 1 year. So they're like, okay, 2 years. So we ended up, that's kind of how we transferred. I ended up signing, I think, in February, and was still like maybe 5-10 games left in the season. And then the Finnish team was like, hey, just so we're on the same page, like, you're still going to play here, right? And I was like, yeah, for sure. Like, you know, they were a little bit worried, like, maybe that I already signed, that, you know, season's over, just going to, you know, throw my stick and gloves on the ice and call it a year. But, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Joined by Josh Holden, talking about his career in Europe. He played in Europe, my God, for 13 years, I think, 12, 13 years. So, you know, Holdy, it is a bit of the Wild West. Well, not is, it is. You know, you went from Finland to a Swiss League team for 2 years in Fribourg, a really nice place, in Lignau, which is, you know, a little bit different. But, you know, is Lignau where is still in the Swiss A? Was that really where you hit your stride in the Swiss League? Because you put up some really big numbers that year.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, So at the end of the second year in, let me just backtrack a bit. After my first year in Fribourg in Switzerland, I think I had like 180 penalty minutes. So we got wind that maybe the team was looking to get rid of me. So I started calling, like, asking, hey, is this true? And they're like, no, we're happy. Everything's fine. So we ended up going back for the second year. I just felt like completely like just not wanted at all. I asked to leave 3 times. They're like, no, we're happy. You can stay. And yeah, it's funny how it ends up working out. So it's almost the end of the season, and we go to Bern a lot. So from Fribourg to Bern, let's say it's 25 minutes, and our girls kind of went to like a kindergarten there, because it was English. And yeah, and Jeff Toms was actually playing in Lugano at the time, and so I was talking to him, and he's like, "Yeah, what are you going to do next year?" I was like, "I don't know, like maybe back to Finland, maybe to Germany." Like, I'm like, I'm looking for anything. Like, we got nothing. So he's like, well, let me talk to my coach. So he went and talked to his coach. And I would say, like, within, you know, 10 days, basically it was like, yeah, we want to sign you for next year. So signed the contract for that next year. So going there to this coach, his name was Christian Weber, Swiss guy. He just let me play again, kind of backtracking to the 17-year-old year with Rich Preston, where it's just like, hey, just go and do what you can do. And let's see. And playing with Jeff Toms was also a huge benefit, you know, a give and go kind of guy, little area plays. And, you know, we ended up having a really good connection, a good year, which led to, again, I think I signed to go to Zug the following year in October and signed a 3-year deal to go to Zug. So I was like, yeah. How can you say no to a three-year deal when you've been bouncing around for the last 10 years?
So did Lagnow, they didn't offer you one? Like when Zug offered you 3 years, did you go to the coach and them and say, hey, like, do you guys want to match this because you were having success or no?
Yes, exactly. I did that every single time. I did it in Finland, but at the Finnish league is not like that. They don't sign guys during the season. They sign more like North America in the summer, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've got this, and they're like, yeah, sorry, our hands are tied. We wait till the summer. So then the same thing in Freiburg when I was going to go to Lagnow. Hey, I got an offer from Lagnow. What do you guys think? We're good. So I was like, okay, all right, we'll continue on. And then it was the same in Lagnow. Hey, I got a couple offers on the table here. What do you think? I don't know. I think it would have been great to have stayed in Lagnow. We would have stayed for sure. But I think the opportunity, I just had a really good meeting with the general manager. And I think the way Zug was going and the place that it is there, just saw kind of maybe a little bit better opportunity. So.
Josh Holden joined us. Josh, you played 9 years in Zug, so you signed a three-year deal. And then were you in your final year that they signed an extension, or could you sign an extension before your final year? How did it work to continue there? And did you get other three-year deals, or did they slowly go down to ones and twos?
Yeah, so it's Switzerland. It's so funny, man. So after the first year I was there, I had point a game in Zug, so I mean it was okay. Then the next year got off to a really strong start and was kind of leading the league or up there as one of the top guys, and started getting calls from like Russia. And in the back of my mind, I was like, no chance, because I'm sure both you guys have heard the crazy stories. I got a family, you know, like, I mean, there's no way I'd go, but we kind of tried to use that as a bargaining leverage. So still with like another year and a half left on the contract, we had our Christmas party and the president kind of came over to me. He's like, hey, we're going to find something. Let's get another deal done. So I was like, hey, absolutely. Like, no problem. Merry Christmas. So I think by the middle of January, I had signed another three-year deal. So then I ended up having basically the rest of that year plus four more, which was great. And then it kind of led to a two-year. Then it led to a one-year. And then the last year there, we actually have an academy team, like a B-League team, that I ended up playing for them as kind of like in a leadership role, kind of like a transition to work with the young guys, kind of talk with the coach, see how the coaching side of things work, and then was the fifth import for the top team. And so I played a few games that last year as well, but mostly with in the farm team.
And what are you doing now, Josh?
So, yeah, luckily was blessed with the opportunity to kind of stop playing in Zug, and they made a whole coaching change. And the guy that was coming in, he's a Norwegian guy, grew up in Sweden, so he has that kind of Swedish coaching style down pat pretty good. And he was coming into Switzerland really blind, not knowing anything. And he had backtracked and done some research, and a lot of Swedish coaches that were coming to Switzerland were not having the success they were having in Sweden. So he came in, and his approach was right away, is I want a three-man coaching team, and I want a guy that knows the league. So the club in Zug was kind of like, well, we got this old guy. We're not sure what we're going to do with. Maybe it could be an opportunity for him to transition. So that was kind of the offer, was to like, hey, like, you want to push it for one more year and maybe play in the farm team again and whatever, and or do you want to maybe make that change and move over to the coaching side? So that's what kind of opened that door and got in there. And so we just finished the second year. My second year as assistant coach with the top club, and also working with some of the younger guys. And then I got a contract for one more year for next year as well. I'll do the same thing as an assistant coach.
Well, Holden, I appreciate sharing your story. I mean, I love talking about it. I love being in Europe, and you're such a good guy and such a good long career. And I think the kids would be lucky to have you as a coach.
You're really making me feel good, man. When we were living together, all you did was give me a hard time. But
well, you were pretty young. You were 16 playing in the NHL. I couldn't be I had to be your dad a little bit.
that's so true. But no, like, it's I guess the good thing is you know, being in Switzerland for so long, I think luckily it kind of created a base there where a lot of the young guys growing up knew me. So I think there's a good respect factor where if I try to help them out or give them some pointers, the ears are open, you know, and right. I think that's all you can ask for is them to be a little bit open-minded they know that not too long ago I was right there kind of trying to do it. So it's not necessarily telling them what to do. It's more just encouraging the guys and giving them some stories to fall back on and know that, you know, maybe what they're going through or how they're feeling, they're not the only ones.
Josh, thanks so much for this continued success, and we'll have to get you back on for more Strutty Tales as a roommate when we have more time.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate that. If we could just open that up next time. Just, I'm trying to be nice. You know, I know Canada Day is coming up, and he's probably got a big party with the family, so I don't want to ruin that confidence at this time. But, no, really a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much. I hope everybody stays safe, stays healthy during this time. And, again, thank you so much for this opportunity.